Hello and welcome to Habemus Papam, episode 75, St. Eugene the First.
Dear brothers and sisters, annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis.
Annuncio vobis gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Gaudium magnum.
Habemus Papam.
Hey everyone, so where are we right now in this story? Let's look back and just kind of see what is the situation in 655 when St. Eugene gets elected Pope. Things are looking bad. The leaders of the Orthodox side of the church, including Pope Martin I, have been exiled by the Monothelite imperial forces. And you remember, Monothelites believe that there's only one will in Christ, and the Orthodox faith believes that there are two wills because there are two complete persons, the divine and the human. And so for this episode, we need to go back before Pope Martin's death in 655 to the date of his exile in 653 in order to really understand what happened. So as soon as St. Martin was exiled to Constantinople, you remember he was kind of dragged off by Byzantine forces, the Byzantine government in Rome started putting pressure on the local clergy to elect a new pope. They said, okay, we've just deposed him. Let's get someone else new here that's a little bit more pro-Byzantine, maybe a little more pro-Monothelite. And so they had made all these trumped-up charges about the legitimacy of Pope Martin's election, and that's kind of how he was deposed. They said, you know, he wasn't even really elected. He wasn't approved by the emperor. There's all these other different things. Let's get rid of him. And so they said, okay, now that he's deposed, we have these charges. You know, it's time to elect someone else. And for a while, you know, while St. Martin was awaiting trial in Constantinople, you remember he was kind of like either on a boat or he was sitting on the deck of a ship while people were yelling at him and mocking him. And while he was awaiting his final sentencing, the Roman Church also waited. But in 654, when he was exiled, they seemed to have believed that he was actually deposed, that, okay, he was guilty. I guess they trusted the Byzantine system. And in the summer of 654, while Martin was in exile in Crimea, the Romans elected the 75th Pope, St. Eugene I. He was approved subsequently by the Byzantine government, and he was consecrated on August 10th, 654. Now, the official Vatican list doesn't begin his papacy until 655, when either Pope Martin I died or when he officially heard of the election of St. Eugene and seems to have acquiesced to his deposition. But regardless, by 655, we definitely have a new pope, and it's almost good that Pope Martin didn't live so long in exile, because then we would have had this really strange historical circumstance in which there could, you know, it seems like there are two popes. Which one's the legitimate one? So who's going to get elected pope? Clearly the emperor would not have approved of another Pope Martin, someone who would have continued this very harsh policy of condemning outright the documents of Monothelitism. The most current, if you remember, is called the Typos, but if you don't remember, that's okay. It seems like these documents just rotate in and out. And so the electors in Rome knew this. They knew that we're not going to be able to get someone else through here. So they picked someone who you just couldn't object to, someone who is holy and relatively uncontroversial theologically. And so St. Eugene was a holy man. He was known for his care of the poor, and he wanted everyone fundamentally to just get along and to unite this fractured church. And he's going to get an opportunity to do this right away in 655. Eugene sent envoys to Constantinople to try and negotiate with the East to find some common ground and to announce his own election. And these envoys seem to have succeeded in bringing about a partial reconciliation. But like a lot of things in this controversy, that reconciliation was probably not genuine from the Byzantine side. And we know this because later in 655, a new patriarch was elected in Constantinople, a man named Peter. So we just had Paul II, now we have Peter. And it seems like he was just as Monothelite as his predecessors. In fact, he was probably more so. The tradition was that upon his election as Patriarch of Constantinople, he would send a letter to the Pope in Rome announcing, I'm the new Patriarch of Constantinople, and he, for our note, professing his faith. And the letter that Pope Eugene received from Peter was just incredibly vague, and it allowed a ton of room for Monothelitism, and it was pretty clear that that's what he was doing. He was trying to just put a smoke screen so that way he would accept this profession of faith, but in reality he was definitely a Monothelite. And when the people of Rome heard about this at a church service in which the letter was read, they refused to let the Pope go until he promised to condemn it. They stormed the altar and they said, please, 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 please condemn this. He's a Monothelite. He is not believing the true faith. And he did. He did condemn it. But he didn't have to suffer for it as St. Martin I had, partially because the Byzantines had their hands full in the east fighting off the Arab invaders, and partially because in 657, St. Eugene I died, and he was buried in St. Peter's Basilica. And he was succeeded by another saintly pope, St. Vitalian, and we'll hear about him next week. Thanks for listening to Habemus Papam. You can check out the rest of the Catholic Bites podcast at catholicbitespodcast.com or find us on iTunes. Thank you, and God bless you all.